Hebrews chapter number 10, we started 2 weeks ago looking at the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're working our way through this marvelous book, the book of Hebrews. We looked at there in chapter number 9 what was wrought by his sacrifice. And then we began last week in chapter number 10 by looking at what was sought by his sacrifice. And we saw that the Jewish sacrifices in verses 1 through 4, they were but just a shadow. As you can see there in verse number 1, it says, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come." All those sacrifices that they made were just a shadow. That's all they were. They could not, they pointed towards the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he would come one day. And it was his work on the cross that brings salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw in these verses here that there was in verse 1 and 2, a sad imperfection. They could not make you perfected. In verse number 3, you see there a serious implication that those sacrifices only would bring a reminder of the sins of the people. And then in verse number 4, a simple impossibility. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Now, why is the writer writing about these things? Because, no doubt, as the title of the book says, Hebrews, there are many Hebrews who'd be reading these books, especially this book, that would still think that it was their works that they were doing that was saving them, and it was not their works. Those things were just a picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross. But then we see, and praise the Lord for it, in verses 5 through 12, a sufficient sacrifice. When Jesus came, his sacrifice paid for our sins. It talks about the weakness of the Jewish sacrifice in verses 5 through 8, the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ in giving himself as a sacrifice in verse 9 and 10, and then the wholeness of the Lord's sacrifice in verse 11 and 12. Those priests, it says there in verse 11, stand daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And he sat down, no more sacrifices need to be made, because when Jesus paid for our sins, he paid it all once and for all, and we thank him for it. Now we're going to start looking in verse number 13, and if you're able to, let's stand as we read the scriptures in respect to the word of God this morning, starting in verse number 13. It says, "From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Father, I pray that, Lord, you take the message this morning. I pray that you would bless it. I pray that you would hide me. And, Lord, that I would just be an instrument in your hands. And, Lord, my lips would be yours, my thoughts yours. And, Father, I pray that you would direct my tongue. And God, I just pray that, Lord, your Son would be lifted up. And, Lord, I know your word then says you will draw men unto you. Lord, speak to us this morning. Lord, speak to every one of our hearts. Be we saved, or if we came this morning not saved, I pray our hearts and ears would be receptive to the word of God, for you have something for everyone. You will call today the sinner to repentance. You will remind us as believers, Lord, of the great sacrifice that you have made, and Lord, our obligation and responsibility towards such a great Savior. And I love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Thank you, and please be seated. We're going to look now in these verses 13 to 18 this morning, at the security of that sacrifice. The security. We looked at the shadows of the Lord's sacrifice. We looked at the sufficient sacrifice there of the Lord. And now we're going to look at the security of the Lord's sacrifice in verses 13 to 18. In verse number 13, you see here an expectation for a perfect reign of Christ. It says there in verse 13, "From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." You know, that word expecting right there means this. It doesn't mean you hope it's going to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is expecting, he is waiting for something. It is a fact. Nothing could ever change what I'm about to say. He is going to rule and reign forevermore. Yeah. Nothing will ever change that. A lot of people would like to argue that. There'd probably be a lot of people, and I promise there will be, who would like to fight against that. But it will not change the fact that Jesus Christ will rule and reign, as the scriptures say, and his enemies will be made his footstool. It is a great expectation in the heart of God's Son. The Lord Jesus Christ, we just read it in the previous verses, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. His work here on earth for our redemption is done. He has paid for it all, and he is seated there at the right hand of the Father. You say, what is going on now? What's he waiting for? Well, keep your finger here while we obviously come back. Look over in Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter 1, just put a few verses together here. In Acts chapter number 1, we always quote verse number 8. It is a powerful scripture. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. But I want to look at with you in Acts chapter 1 and in verse number 7. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is about to ascend into heaven. His parting words here to his followers, it says in verse number 7, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power." Did you know what's going on right now is our Father, our God, he is working for this time and for this season. The Lord, our God, is doing a work right now. Now, what's he doing? Of course, these disciples, they said, "Lord, how long now? You've ascended, you've risen from the grave. Is it time for your kingdom?" And the Lord said, "It's not for you to know." Our Lord Jesus Christ looked at them, and a message is for us today that right now, his Father is working during this time and this season. Now, what is God doing? What is it that God is working on and towards? Well, a couple things that I know from the scriptures. First of all, again, we'll look at a few scriptures here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. What is God doing right now? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, look with me in verse number 3. Well, we'll just start reading. Yeah, we'll start reading in verse 3. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 3 is this. Says this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So what is God doing right now? What is he doing in this time and season? Well, until the Lord Jesus reigns and his enemies are made his footstool. Well, number one thing I know from the Word of God is this: the family of God is being made ready. Aren't you thankful for that today? The Bible says here in verse number 4, "Who will have all men," talking about God, "who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." By the way, take that, Calvinist. Amen? See, the Lord God doesn't just have a few people he wants to be saved. The Bible says, "For there is," there in verse number 4, "who will have all men to be saved." It is God's will that men would be saved. It is God's will that all men be saved. It is God's will, if you're here today lost, that you be saved today. It is God's will for the guy sitting on a bar stool, already drunk out of his mind, that he would come to the knowledge of the truth. It is God's will for that little child sitting over in junior church right now, that he would be saved. And it is God's will for that person sitting in an innermost prison today, that they would be saved. It is God's will that all men be saved. Right now, what God is doing is he is sharing this gospel to a lost world. And by the way, he's chosen to use us as believers to be mouthpieces for him, to share this gospel, to tell others about it. I'm thankful today that God is not done saving souls. We've been rejoicing around here for two precious souls saved in the last week, and to God be the glory for it. And I'm thankful today that God's not done saving souls. I'm thankful today to be able to say this with beyond a shadow of a doubt, with the authority of the Word of God, that God is still wanting and able to save souls. He wants you to be saved today. It's God's will that you be saved today. It's what God wants for you to be saved today. The Bible says He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. Amen. I'm thankful for that today. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to tell you otherwise, and the fact of the Word of God is this: God wants all men to be saved. God wants you to be saved. Matter of fact, He loves you so much, He has prepared the way. All you must do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him as your Savior. See yourself as a sinner that every one of us are. You see, the day that I got saved, I had to recognize that I am indeed being raised in a preacher's home. Went to church first time when I was 5 days old, right? And you can count on this one hand how many services I've had to miss in my lifetime, right? I have been to church. I've been raised in church. I always went to church. But I, as a church boy, had to come to a place where I said, I am a sinner. Amen. I deserve hell. I was a pretty decent kid just looking at him. I didn't do a lot of things that the world offers. A lot of things I could tell you I've never done, and I do thank the Lord for that. But the fact is, all those good things that I did and all the bad things I didn't do would do nothing for my soul and salvation.
Right. Yeah.
I had to come to a point where I said, I, Travis Burke, am a sinner and I deserve hell. That's what I deserved.
Yes.
But I believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for my sins.
Yes. Amen.
And He did not just die for me, but He arose and He lives for me.
Yes. Yes.
And that day when I was 14 years old, I received Christ as my Savior. I believed what He did for me and I knew what I was. And Christ saved my soul. And I'm thankful that we fast forward these many years and the Lord still wants to save every soul. He wants to save your soul today. You see, what is God doing right now? God is building the family of God. Brothers and sisters who will come to know Him and believe in Him and be part of the family of God. What else is the Lord doing? And look over in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 says, of these times and these seasons, it is of our Lord God's power. He is working right now. Look in Matthew chapter 24 and in verse number 36. Matthew 24 and in verse number 36. It says this, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. See, what else is going on during this time and season? Well, number one, and I'm thankful to say it, that the family of God is being built here on this earth. But I would say this secondly, that the world is ripening for judgment. The world is ripening for judgment. This world is getting wicked. And it's not going to get better. This world's getting wicked. I'm not saying that people aren't going to be able to be saved. I know they will. I'm not saying that people can't have revival. I know they can. But I'm telling you, this world's not going to get better. This world is getting more wicked. This world is pulling away from God. Unfortunately, this country is pulling away from God. This country is turning their back on principles that it was founded upon. As families are turning their backs, individuals are turning their backs upon principles that were laid out from creation because they do not want anything to do with God. And what is going on is this world is ripening for judgment. The Bible says, and we know this, we've already read this, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And what is going on right now that God is working in these times and seasons according to His will and according to His power. And what is God doing? He's building these family of God. People are being saved. And I thank God for that. But also this world is ripening for judgment. And mark my words, because it's based upon the Word of God, judgment is coming.
Yeah.
The Bible says it will be just like the days of Noah. What do we see just in this passage without doing an intense study about the days of Noah? It says there in verse number 38, "For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking." You know what happened? People become very self-centered. People become very self-centered. Life becomes about them. They want to live for themselves and please themselves. It becomes very sensual, and they're marrying and giving in marriage. Life becomes very self-centered and sensual. You'd have to have your head in the sand not to see that we live in a world like that today. Everything is about the individual. Everything is about pleasing the flesh. Everything is there to feed the flesh and to pull you away from God. We're heading towards this day. We're heading towards this day. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Verse number 39, this is the sad part, and knew not until the flood came. You know, they were sensual. They were self-centered. And I'll tell you something else that describes these people. It was this, that they were stubborn. They didn't want to hear the truth. You know what the Bible says about Noah? The Bible says about Noah that he was a preacher of righteousness. You would never convince me that while Noah was building this ark, because judgment was coming, while Noah was building this ark, people would ask, "What are you doing?" He would share it. Judgment is coming. Obviously, they scoffed. They mocked him. They didn't want to hear that. And for days upon days, while this ark was being built, Noah, a preacher of righteousness, judgment is coming. But the Bible says they knew not until the flood came. When the truth was being preached, not for me. When the truth was being preached, I don't want to hear it. We live in that world today. There are churches in this country almost in Goshen. Just in little bitty Goshen. I can tell you 7 churches that would preach the gospel this morning. Here in Goshen. But most of just our small community. No. Last time I checked, Goshen's not on fire for God. You look at all the churches that we have, you know, from what we call Greater Cincinnati. And there are, and praise God for them, churches preaching the truth this morning. But Cincinnati's not been turned upside down for God. You know why? Part of the reason is because there's a people that says, "No, I don't want it." Well, they knew not. But listen, it didn't change the fact the flood still came. You can sit here this morning and say, "I don't want to hear it. I'm going to do it my way." But it will not change the fact that judgment's coming.
Yes. Amen.
Judgment is coming. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And I encourage you today, during this time and season, this age of grace, this time when God is extending His hand and the gospel is there for the taking, receive Him today. During this time and season, I thank God for this. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. This makes me a little excited. Should you too, I think. Ephesians chapter number 5. What is God doing during this time and during this season? The family of God is being made ready. What's happening during this time and season? The world is ripening for judgment. What's happening during this season? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 27. So we'll go back to verse 25. Husbands, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, don't you love these verses?
Yes. Yeah.
You know what God's doing right now? This is great. Right now, the family of God is being made ready. All those who are saved are part of the family of God. But also this world is being ripened for judgment. But also during the season, praise God for it, His church, the bride, is being made ready.
Yes.
I'm excited about that.
Yes.
I'm thankful today that the bride is being made ready. You know, I look at this time when Jesus, where is Jesus seated right now? The right hand of the Father. Did you know, I've been teaching in my Sunday school class about different metaphors in the Bible, and we looked at one of those, was Jesus, and how he referred to his church as the bride. And I love that. I love that that picture that the Lord paints there. What a wonderful picture it is. It's a great picture. The Lord, it shows this. I have never in my life seen a bridegroom, the groom, you know, not excited about his wedding day. I've stood up here many times, and I've had the bride-to-be will walk down this aisle. I've never seen a guy standing here going, huh, those are nice flags. I've never seen a guy saying, yeah, my shoes look pretty good. I've never seen a guy, you know, counting, you know, the different flags or how many lights are in the building, checking his watch. I've never seen a guy saying, you know, I wonder what the score is of the game. I've never seen it. But what I've seen is this. You know why? Because he anticipates his bride walking down the aisle. Did you know that's what the Lord, when he looks at his churches today, he anticipates the day when his Father says, son, go get your bride. Yeah. Won't that be a glorious day?
Yes.
That day could be today. That day could be today. While we're here, the Lord just directs, I think, just now. I've also never seen a bride, by the way, walk through those doors back there with the hair all messed up. Never seen it. I've never seen a bride walk through the back doors with a white dress with ketchup all over the front. Never seen it. You know what I always see? Is a bride that has spent hours upon hours upon hours.
Yes.
Days upon days. Weeks upon weeks, right?
Yes.
Getting ready.
Yes.
Because they want everything to be perfect. If that dress had one teeny little ink dot on it. Ah! Right? Because that has to be perfect.
Yes.
Shouldn't that be how we prepare ourselves for when the Lord comes back?
Yes.
A bunch of us Christians are walking around with our hair all messed up, filthy, dirty, stinky, haven't brushed our spiritual teeth in weeks. Saying, boy, I can't wait till the bridegroom comes. You're not looking forward to him.
Amen.
Because every bride-to-be wants to present herself as pure and clean and spotless. Amen.
Yes.
How do we get that way? Through the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But I'm thankful during this age. I'm thankful during this time that the family of God is being made ready. I'm thankful that we as his bride are preparing for when the bridegroom comes to receive us. This world is ripening for judgment. There's no doubt for that. But during these times and seasons, God is working. But listen to me. The day will come, as Hebrews says, when he will make his enemies his footstools. Jesus is coming back. I don't want to rush through this, because look over in Revelation chapter 6 real quick. I promise we'll go back to Hebrews. Revelation chapter number 6. Let's just get a quick glimpse of what it's going to be like when the Lord comes back. Revelation chapter 6. Look with me in verse number 10. Revelation 6:10. There in heaven, a cry goes out. It says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell in the earth? See, this world is ripening for judgment. And the Lord will one day rule and reign. His enemies will be made his footstool. And look over now in chapter 19 of Revelation. Let's just get a glimpse of this real quick. Revelation chapter 19. And in verse number 1, Revelation 19, verse number 1. If you're saved and looking forward to heaven, These verses ought to excite you a little bit. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore who did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen! Hallelujah! As a matter of fact, if y'all can't ever say amen and hallelujah, you're going to have a miserable time in heaven, because that's what you're going to be doing. Verse number 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. See everything we've been talking about all put together. Amen. Verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and one of thy brethren. They have that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. You see, only God is worthy of worship and praise. Yes. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Aren't you glad that's his name? He is faithful. He is true. And in righteousness he that judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He shall tread the winepresses of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming back one day. All the nations of this earth are going to gather themselves against him. He will come back, and when he comes, all he does is say a word. The sword of his mouth, battle over. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. Back in Hebrews, there is an expecting, a great expectation of a perfect reign of Jesus Christ. There in verse number 13, so from henceforth, Hebrews 10, verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. My friends, that day is coming. I'm glad I'm on the winning side.
Amen.
I'm thankful to be able to say that, and it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this time, he is seated at the right hand, expecting this day to happen. But in the meantime, I'm thankful for the work that God is doing. And we all should be. And then number 2, and I'll wrap this up quickly. You see, first of all, this security of the sacrifice and expectation of a perfect reign. And then you see the experience of a perfect redemption for the Christian. Aren't you thankful that when Christ saved us, he did it perfectly? I'm thankful for that. You see, while Jesus is waiting, we are experiencing the joy of salvation. Amen. At least we should be.
Yes.
God, look at these verses real quick. In verse number 14, we have a new condition. I promise I'll go quick. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Don't you love the new condition we find ourselves in today? You know, before I was saved, I was lost. I was undone. I was on my way to hell. My soul dead in trespasses and sins. But the day I got saved, according to this verse, he perfected me forever.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That's my new condition. Now, that does not mean that while living in this flesh that I never sin. This is the amazing one of the greatness of parts of God's salvation. It doesn't mean that I'm sinless. What it means, the word perfected, my salvation is complete. This is wonderful, folks. You ought to be excited about it.
Yeah.
The day that you got saved, you were perfected forever. Isn't that a great verse?
Yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful verse? If you came in here thinking that you could lose your salvation, you'd have to argue with the Bible this morning. Because the Bible says you are perfected forever. Last time I checked, forever means it never ends. And God's word says you that are saved, you have been perfected forever. Aren't you thankful for that today? I am thankful today that Christ, the new condition that I find myself in, is that Christ perfected my soul forever. It is amazing to me that when God looks down, a holy God looks down upon Travis Burke, he does not see the flesh, he does not see my sin. What he sees is the righteousness of his Son. Glory to God for that. I don't deserve that. But he who knew no sin became sin for us. Our sin was placed upon him so that we might be made the righteous of God in him. His righteousness was placed on our account. You see, our new confidence in verse number 15. Our new condition, we've been perfected forever. So now we have a new confidence in verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before. Now we're going to pause right there a second. We have a new confidence. Yes. You know what my new confidence? You say, how can you be so bold? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I have the Word of God on it. That's great, isn't it? Can't change that. The Word of God. But also, God has sent us the Holy Spirit. And according to this verse, the Holy Spirit, look there in verse number 15, he also is a witness to us. I'm thankful today to be able to say this. Now look at me. I know that I'm saved. And the Holy Spirit in my heart, ye that are saved understand what I'm about to say, confirms that in my heart. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit witnesses to us. And he confirms these things. He is my confidence. Now, I just want you to see this real quick. Look over real quick in 1 John chapter 5. It'll be very quick. 1 John chapter 5. I want you to see what all the Holy Spirit does in this matter. All right? He is our confidence. By the way, without the Holy Spirit, I have a hard time because my flesh is still weak. But I'm thankful that I am indwelt. I am sealed by this Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15, he witnesses to us. That is a fact. Here in 1 John chapter 5, look in verse number 10, says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, what is this witness in us? That's the Holy Spirit. The day you got saved, believer, the Holy Spirit indwelt you. So this witness witnesses to us. This witness witnesses in us. I'm thankful the Holy Spirit, what? Know ye not that your bodies are temples? The Holy Ghost indwells you. He witnesses to me the fact I am saved. He witnesses in me my faith that I am saved. And then look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I know we didn't have to look at these things, but boy, what God does, he does right. And I want you to see this. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse number 16, you see the witness, the Holy Spirit witnesses to us. The Holy Spirit witnesses in us. And in Romans 8, verse number 16, he witnesses with us. In verse 8, Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yes. I am thankful that the Holy Spirit witnesses to me, he witnesses in me, and he witnesses with me. Yes. When I proclaim this today, it is not by my merits, it is all because of Jesus Christ, but I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit who witnesses to me, within me, and with me, that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have been perfected once and for all, forevermore. Thankful for that today. I have a new condition. I have a new confidence. And it's all because, back in Hebrews chapter number 10, this new covenant. Remember, that was the whole subject of the writer of Hebrews. The old covenant found in the Old Testament was just pictures, but of what Jesus would do one day. This new covenant now looks back at what Jesus has done. And it is a promise for you and I today. It refers, we don't have time to read these things, but back, if you want to write down the reference next to it, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 33, we actually read it a few weeks ago, but it refers back to this covenant that was made with Israel. But I'm thankful that this new covenant is not just for Israel. Now, if you don't believe me on that, you have to look back a little bit in our passage here in Hebrews chapter number 10. It says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Yes. Are you saved today? Say amen. Have you been perfected forever?
Yes.
Amen. What a blessing. So guess, we're the them that are sanctified. This new covenant now, in verse number 16, says, this is the covenant that I will make with them. Who's the them? That's us.
Yes.
Now that's believing Jews as well, but that's us. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I am thankful today that I have a perfect redemption. I am thankful today there's so much in this. Matter of fact, this is just worth noting that you'll notice that the book of Jeremiah is what this exactly quotes, but the Holy Spirit is the author. You see that here. Just a little side point. It says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, and that's what the Holy Ghost said. Why can the Word of God say that? Because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost that wrote these words. But this new covenant says this: I am sanctified. I am God's child. I have been perfected forever because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 16, it just simply says this: I will have no problem remembering forevermore, for all of eternity, what my salvation is all about. Understand that, folks? When we get to heaven, we'll just be singing. You already read it in Revelation. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is because the Lamb that was slain, that's what our song will be. No one will ever have to remind you. There'll be no preachers in heaven reminding us about Jesus as the way of salvation. We will all be singing His praise forevermore. But there in verse number 17, I'm glad that I'll never forget. And I'm thankful also that Jesus doesn't remember all of my sins. They've been cast away forevermore. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Aren't you thankful that our sins are gone? And that's why he summarizes. Remember, this is what it's all about. He's trying to tell these Hebrews, these things were shadows, they're done. And he gets to this climax point here. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sins. You don't need to keep doing those sacrifices. Jesus paid it all. If you're saved today, perfected forever. If you're lost today, God wants all men to be saved. Believe what He's done for you.